today I want to talk about Birchas HaMazon. Maybe we'll talk about a few days Birchas HaMazon. This week's parasha, Yochalto v'Sovoto u'Birachto es Hashem Elokecha la'aretz ha'tova asher nasa lach. What's very interesting is that Birchas HaMazon only appears in Chumash Devarim. You always wonder why a certain mitzvah, Mishneh Torah, only appears in Chumash Devarim, does not appear in all the other parashas. To best my knowledge, there's no mention of Birchas HaMazon. The mitzvah deraisa, Birchas HaMazon, in the first four chumashim. We understand like divorce. We understand because that's not an ideal thing. Anything that's for galus is only in Devarim. Like the two classic examples are Yibum and Gerushin.
Did we discuss that Devarim is meant for the entry into Eretz Israel and therefore? Unless I read it.
Yes, okay, that's another idea. But the similar understanding is that Chumash Devarim is because Moshe is not coming into Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Moshe realizes now that Yoshua will take them in, not himself. And Klal Yisrael, they're not going to be on an exalted spiritual level. They're not going to have a leader. They're not going to survive in Galus, in Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be a Galus. And in Galus, you have to be prepared for certain things that are unpleasant. And that includes Gerushin, that includes Yibum. And you study the whole power of Chumash Devarim, you relearn the mitzvahs from a different perspective. And one of the things that is very interesting is that Birchas HaMazon, you would think the Birchas HaMazon is not a Golus type of mitzvah, but yet this mitzvah does appear only in Chumash Devarim. Yachalta, the first aliyah, we learned it today. Yachalta v'sevata v'rachta v'shem l'kecha l'aris ha'tov v'asher nosalach. Now how many, let's just look at a few short inyanim about Birchas HaMazon. How many brachas are there in Birchas HaMazon? We all know there are four brachas. The first one was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hazan. The second was established by Yehoshua when they came into Eretz Yisrael. The third was established by David Ushlomo when they built Yerushalayim, when they established Yerushalayim as the permanent resting place of Hashem's Shekhinah, l'shichno sidrishu uvas hashama. It's fascinating that for 480 years, Klal Yisrael had no idea that Yerushalayim would be the place where they would be the capital of Eretz Yisrael. 480 years. From the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim until the time they built the Beis HaMikdash. For all they knew, they could have put the permanent Beis HaMikdash in Eilat. It could have been what?
Tennessee.
Well, I don't know Tennessee, but who knows where.
Eilat is outside the Gevul.
Outside the Gevul, but the Bayis Rishon, the first Bayis Rishon was in the Gevul. Right, during the Bayis Rishon. It could have been anywhere. It could have been Tel Aviv. It could have been, who knows where, wherever you want. And it was Nasan Hanavi, the God Hachayz and Nasan Hanavi and David HaMelech. They came to the conclusion that when it says in the Torah, Lishichno Sidrishu Uvas HaShama, it refers to Yerushalayim, to the Makam where they decided it would be the Makam HaMikdash. So who's the one that established Yerushalayim? It really was David. It was David, it was his doing that.
Shmuel
handed down. I think it was more... Pasuk says it was God or no, I don't remember God Nasan. I don't think it was Shmuel.
But it was known as a holy place. I mean,
it was
Maria.
Well Har HaMoriah. So there are many holy places in Eretz Yisrael. The Maris Machpelah, right? Maris Mach. It was a holy place, but this should be the place where the Leshichna Yisirshu Vosa Shama. We had a discussion in Chizkiyahu. We had this idea from Rav Schwab. Schwab doesn't say these exact words, but why do we always find in Tanakh that certain kings, that they were very big tzaddikim, but there was one thing they didn't do. Ach habamos. Rak habamos. Take away the Egel Hazav.
The
Egel Hazav, they could not reunify Klal Yisrael. They cannot bring them back together. But what's this with the Rak habamos? So Rav Schwab doesn't say it openly, but he alludes to this idea, fascinating, I think the Mitzunas also alludes to this, is that when are you allowed to have a bama? You're allowed to have a bama when there is no bama gedola, when there is no permanent makan for the hashras hashchina. What we take for granted that Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael wasn't accepted in Klal Yisrael. People challenge this. It doesn't say this in the Torah anywhere. It says l'shichnoi sidushu v'asher. We think today we have fun with the umos ha'olam. Maybe that's the reason why it's like payday. Why the world doesn't want to accept Yerushalayim as the capital? You know why the world doesn't want to accept Yerushalayim as the capital? We don't realize that we didn't accept it as the capital. Rak ha'bamos lo'heiser lo'saru. Why didn't take away the bamos? Because when you don't have a permanent makom of hashuas hashchina, then you're allowed to have a bama ketana. So, in other words, the pasuk was saying was that all of these kings could not convince Klal Yisrael that the Mesoira, that Yerushalayim is the Lashichna Sidushu Vasa Shama, is 100%. People kept on falling back and saying, no, maybe it's not. Maybe there's still Mashiach is yet to come. Maybe there'll be another place that will be selected to be the place where we're going to have the permanent Hashra Sashrina. And therefore, until it came a point in time when it was finally accepted, no, that Yerushalayim is the permanent Hashra Sashrina. David was the one that established this, and therefore David composed his own Nusach, with the conclusion of Amen. Now, why is there an Amen at the end of the third bracha? Because we have a typical general halach that when you finish something, you answer Amen to your own bracha. You answer Amen to your own bracha when you conclude a complete inyan. Where else do we have this example? We don't do this, but Shomer Amo Yisrael Ad Amen. Ma'ariv. After you finish the brachas kriyashma at night, the four brachas kriyashma, I think the svardim answer amen to show this is the end. Baruch Hashem li'olam amen. The amen either is not to be said or it's not really part of the brachas. That's why we finish the bracha. That really is the end of brachas hamazon, and we conclude with bonei v'racham avi u'shalayim amen. We answer amen to the bracha to show that this is the end of the real brachas hamazon. However, Yavne, about 2,000 years ago, the Rabbanim decided to add a fourth bracha, the bracha atoy v'hametiv, to commemorate the fact that the miracle that the Harugei Beitar shelo hislichu v'shenitnu l'kvura. 52 years after the Churban, Beitar was destroyed by Adarionus Caesar, and 18 years their bodies lied out in the open, and the blood was used to fertilize the vineyard, and their bodies were used to create a wall, and they were lying in a state of zilzal. And after 18 years, they were given permission to bury the dead, and they discovered the bodies did not decay. So they were masak in the bracha hatoy v'hanetiv. They elaborated upon this hatoy shlo yisrichu v'hanetiv shenitnu l'kvura, that they were given to burials. That's the fourth bracha, which came into our nuschos at a later point in time, and then all the harachmans came in and even at a later point in time that will come to, that we'll discuss later. Now, but let's just go and run a few short ideas for the first bracha. The first bracha. Here's the very big question. This is a dilemma which there's no answer. Who exactly composed the nusach? Was the nusach composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, or was the nusach composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Many want to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu himself actually wrote the words that we say every single day. Hazon, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hazon Es Haolam Kulo B'Tuvo V'Chulu V'Chulu. He wrote these exact words. Now the problem is, really at the end, is at least according to Nusach Sfarad. And in Nusach Sfarad it says, Kamor, like it says in the Pasuk, Voseches Yodecho Maspia L'Chol Chai Ratzon. Now, who lived first, Moshe or David? David came 440 years, at least 440 years after Moshe Rabbeinu died. Right, so L'chor, Moshe came first. So how can it be that Moshe wrote a nusach where he says, Ka'amor, like it says in the Pasuk, that David wrote in Tehillim, Posech HaSidech HaMaspil L'chol Chayrot, and it cannot possibly be. So either you don't say it, it's a mistake, it's in parentheses. Nusach Ashkenaz does not say Ka'amor Posech HaSidech. And those who do say, they say, Navul Chiddush is that the truth is David did not write it. Moshe wrote it. The one that composed the word Poseach Es Yodecha U'maspia L'chol Chai Ratzon was Moshe. Moshe is the one that wrote this Nusach. And that's a fascinating thing to say, because that changes the whole meaning. When you look at an expression written, you always, who wrote this? Who's the Mechaber?
Tehillah L'David.
Tehillah L'David was David's Tehillah, David took. David collected. We know that David collected. We know that Mizmor L'Asaf. We know there are many things. There are many things in Tefillah L'Moshe. There are many Mizmorim in Tehillim that David collected. Well, today we live in a world. But so when, even when it says Tehillah L'David, this is what David would praise Hashem, but it does not mean that David actually composed every single word. David was a Malakit. This was before Copyscape existed. In those days, it wasn't a big deal to take a little from here, a little. There's a different standard. You take a little bit, you chop around a little bit from this one. Do you have to attribute authorship? No, not necessarily. It's self-understood. Everyone knows. Over time, we forgot exactly who wrote what, and we attribute the wrong name. But the standards, even to go back recently, even in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, there are chunks of Mishnah Berurah that were taken from Shulchan Aruch Harav, and there's no attribution, zero. And there are other things here and there, and like, it's a very big mystery. How could the Mishnah Berurah go and just quote a chunk and without mentioning where he got it from? It's a shock. So today, in today's standard, it's unacceptable. It's totally unacceptable. But you have to understand, 250 years ago, it wasn't like that. It was a different standard. People did this, and it was understood either that everyone knows where this came from. I have to write down also where it came from. You know where it came from. And if you don't know where it came from, you don't know, then too bad for you. You shouldn't be learning my sefer anyway. If you see such an amaretz, you don't know where the Shulchan Aruch Harav wrote, then you don't belong reading my sefer anyway. And it was a different standard. So that was a different standard. We find this even you talk about the Torah Tamima. Okay, the Torah Tamima was criticized. There's a lot of criticism of Torah Tamima that he took. He plagiarized. He took a lot of things were taken from other Sfarim. It's not a criticism. It was a different generation. It was a different standard. There were things that were acceptable and were done, and it was either again whatever lum this was. And this is all over. You have this today. They write blogs and they go crazy. They say, "Oh, look at this terrible, terrible, terrible." They make this into a felony. What was done in the previous generations? But it's wrong. It's different. It was a different standard, and you see that even in Tehillim itself. What did he say?
Oh. But Moshe didn't perceive Chassidah. He closed the
ceremony.
Hit the
rock. So you're saying very good. You're saying that when you attribute this pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu, it takes on a whole new, and it opens up for us a whole new set of events which we can understand where Moshe was saying. So if you learn that David wrote it, so we have to go to Sefer Shmuel, and we're limited Sefer Shmuel. What event? What was David's thinking when he wrote this pasuk? But if he's saying Moshe wrote the pasuk, that allows us to study Tanakh, find an event like he's saying the Me'al Riva. Hashem said to Moshe, "Poseach Hasyodecha, Umaspia L'chol Chai Ratzon." Don't hit the rock. Satisfy them with goodwill. With goodwill, speak to the rock. Whatever. Okay. It does have a whole different flavor. Now, therefore, some want to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the mechaber of the words Poseach Hasyodecha Maspil L'chol Chai Ratzon. The only difficulty is then the word Ka'amur doesn't belong. In the Nusach Sfar it says Ka'amur like it says. So someone is saying Nachanami, the original version did not say Ka'amur. It said Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of Birchas HaMazon was U'mechin Mazon L'chol B'yosav Asher Bara Poseach HaSidach Maspil L'chol Chai Ratzon. Later on, since we have Tehillim and David took it, became famous, so it was in the word Ka'amur in order to make it easy for us to make. Okay, so this is one of the probably the biggest issues in the first bracha is the words Poseach Hasyodecha, to say it, not to say it. Are we appending the words of David, or maybe really Moshe wrote it? If Moshe wrote it, why say Kamor? Kamor was added at a later point in time. Okay, that is one. Okay, that is one issue. Okay, another very question is, why is this bracha here? First, the first bracha should be Eretz Yisrael. You have to have land before you're able to produce a product. So l'chayr, we should begin with no. The l'chayr Hashem al shlachav las Eretz chem the Torah rechava. We have an Eretz Yisrael, and the Eretz Yisrael will through Eretz Yisrael will be able to produce fruit. Since all the brach comes from Eretz Yisrael, so some ask that question that we should really have the first bracha So that's what you have to say. You have to say is that since, even though it's true that logically, if we were writing, we would first put Eretz Yisrael first, the land, and then the land comes the product. But since Moshe Rabbeinu came first, so therefore we have no choice but to refer to Moshe Rabbeinu first. Also, what did Moshe write this in reference to? Azon es olam kulo b'tuvo. He was really referring to the man. I was, well, what did they eat in the Midbar for 40 years? And Moshe Rabbeinu was sacking this bracha. Moshe did not enter in Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu writing a bracha for? He was writing a bracha to commemorate the Mon. Now people talk about saying the Parshas HaMon. Everyone to this generation gets really worked up. They get all worked up on Tuesday. A Parshas Peshalach, Sakonis Nefashis. If you don't say the Parshas Haman, today there's only, I remember when I was a little kid before, I never heard of this. Then the first time I heard about it. Then the next year I saw a sign. And then the next year there were a lot of signs. And then the next year it was reading in the newspapers. And then came emails, hundreds of emails. And then forget about the emails, it's plastered on every website. And today it's Yom Gimel, Parash Haman. Became a craze to say Parash Haman. But the truth is, the greatest zuchus for Parash Haman is to bench every single day. Because when you bench, you're actually making a bracha, b'shem malchus, in mekayim a mitzvah deraisa. It's not a segula. If you go and you read the pesukim, it's a nice. You read the pesukim in chumash, shteinek v'chetargum. But when you actually make a bracha with shem malchus, that's a whole different league. And especially when you're doing this mitzvah, one of the mitzvah deraisa, and the bracha, the whole bracha was established specifically for the man. It was not even established for real food. So there's no greater bracha than actually reciting the Birchas HaMazon. The Birchas HaMazon, how many times do you recite Birchas HaMazon? So I don't think anyone does this here, but you never know. 45 times a week you're supposed to really recite Birchas HaMazon. Twice a day. Two meals. You're only supposed to have two meals a day, not three meals a day. So there are two meals a day. And Shabbos, how many times? Three. That's 15 times. How many brachas are there in the Torah in Birchas HaMazon? Three. 3 times 15 is 45. So when you recite the Birchas HaMazon 15 times a week, okay, I told you for 15 times a week, you are reciting 45 blessings. And these 45 blessings are possibly the only blessings that are deraisa. Birchas HaTorah also deraisa, but little comes to food. And what does it say in the pasuk? Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach Kiim Liyire Oiso. There can be no greater Chazal Hashem Mo Meya. If you make 100 brachas a day, you'll come with a Yira Shemayim. But the truth is, there can be no greater degree of Yira Shemayim than acknowledging 45 times a week with 45 blessings, 15 meals a week, 45 blessings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that sustains you, provides Mazayin, provides Eretz Yisrael, provides the Yerushalayim, HaToyev HaMeitev Shlehisrichu V'ninu L'Kvura, a grand total of 45 Mo Hashem Elokecha Shel Meimach Kiyim L'Yire Oisai. What does Kiyim Chayei Rechimeinu have to do? Kiyim Chayeinu, okay, Rechimeinu. Eating the man. Interesting. So there was no real food. Interesting. Okay.
They did bench on the man. They said Azan is a cow.
They said this bracha was said on the man. Azan, yeah.
What about
they never went into Eretz Yisrael. Yes, what about them?
Well, they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, but they took over the land before, and they had it there for quite a few years. So they would be having, meals. They would have meals. And they would have meals also after.
All right, so you have to say that their land also has Kedusha Saaretz. It doesn't have the same Kedusha, but the other side of the Yarden does has a degree of Kedusha.
Wouldn't the bracha be appropriate for them prior to going into Eretz Yisrael? because they were already producing something.
In Echonami, right, for them alone, but not for the other Shvatim. Right. Okay, in Echonami.
That's again, the Gemara talks about what does it mean, Bo'ayo Kibiyacha, Kibo Al-Oretz, when is the Mitzvah Chal? Yeshivas Oretz or Bias Oretz?
Yeshivas.
The land or Yeshiva, till you have a permanent abode, or when you actually cross the border into the land, and the 14 years was a question.
When they had that?
Who have mitzvahs in the first 14 years, if it meant, when it says, B'chol Moshvel Zecha.
Okay. Now, how do you say these words in the Birchas Hamazon? Uvituvo hagadol tamid lo chosar lanu v'al yechsar. Now, chosar is in the past tense. Chosar Hashem has not in the past denied us, and we are mispalel. I don't know if we are mispalel. We express our emuna, our faith, v'al yechsar lanu, that in the future He will not deny. So yechsar is the future tense. That I think is the way that most of us say the words. I mean, we have a yesh, we shem shekos sheyesh lomach aches shebechosar bekomatz v'hasamach bechosar umela yechsar yesh lomach gam hayud besegol. Okay, here is the difference. Yechsar v'hasamach gam bepadach. Right, lo chosar v'lo yechsar. Uperush perush u'atoyv shlo yechosar min be'ovar v'iratzon shlo yechsar mi'atzma be'osan. Past and the future. However, there's another version. And this version is very interesting. To say that anoyg lomar v'lo chiser, not chosar, the komatz, but chiser. And then...
What's the difference?
It's no difference. That's also the past tense. V'lo chiser. But the difference is the next word. And the next word it's going to be v'lo ye chaser. That's the future of asamach yechaser. Kedei shiushneim b'signer b'shulachad. It'll be v'lo chisar lanu, v'lo yechaser lanu.
That's the present.
Yechaser.
Present.
No, I think it's the future tense. Tamid lo chiser lanu. He did not deny anything from us. The al
give us less.
Lo chiser.
He didn't give us less than we need, and he won't give us
the al ye chaser. What does it mean? Ye chaser. Isn't the future tense?
Yeah.
He should not deny us. Ye chaser. We have now said of v'loy chosar lanu v'al yechsar. Chosar is the past tense, and yechsar, the pesegol, yechsar is the future tense. Hashem in the past has not denied us, and may He not deny us in the future. But He hears from the Rishonim, some say that you should say, then they give the smack says this, the smack, the sefer mitzvahs ketanis. He says the correct girsa is tamid lo chisar lanu. V'al yichaser lanu. All right, we have to figure out exactly what that means. But a lot of girsos he has here. A lot of interesting girsos. Okay, but let's conclude with one other thing. Is we have here the order. If you notice the brachas, they get more and more specific. In the first bracha, it's a very general bracha. It just describes mazon, food. The second bracha, we elaborate. We talk about Eretz Yisrael. We talk about the fruits, satisfaction, and in the third bracha we get even more specific. We elaborate even more. We talk about akel avinu, malkeinu, zuneinu, parnaseinu, v'chalkeleinu, v'harvicheinu, v'harvachlanu. We elaborate even more details. So the goal over here is that in each bracha we start off very, very small, but as we go through the Birchas Hamazon, we elaborate more and more. There's more and more detail. The last idea is the different expressions. If you study the entire Birchas Hamazon, there are four different expressions for food. One is zon. The first is kizon umefarnes. The second expression is that we don't actually say this. Ushulchanoi aruch lakol. At least in the first bracha, this is part of the first bracha. There's another girsa that says he's supposed to say in the nusach that ushulchanoi aruch lakol. The table is set for all. A third nusach is the hiskin michya, and the fourth word is umazain. So Farshim explained that these four different expressions in the full version of Blessings correspond to four different types of food. There is the basics, which is called Zonu Mufarnes. Then there is, for the poor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides food for the poor, and that is alluded to, Shulchanai Aruch Lakol. Even a poor man has food to eat. The third expression is Michya. That corresponds to people, Rahman al-San, who are sick, and they just have the bare necessity, the basics. And the fourth expression is the Mazon, which is the Mazon of Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, so this is a little bit more of a midrashic. It's for the Aniyim. It says there, okay, there's another girsa. Let me read you that girsa. The other girsa is, let me see if I can find it. We don't have that. We don't have that girsa. There's another. Some say Baruch Maspia L'Re'evim, Baruch Mashke L'Tzimeim. The Al Chosav Al Yechsar, L'Chol Bri Yosef Asher. Another interesting thing is Al Bri Yosef Asher Bora. Okay, do we say that now in the Sukh? We say L'Chol Bri Yosef Asher Bora. Many are mafakfik. Why do you say Asher Bora? It has a connotation that there are Bri Yosef that Hashem did not create. All you say is Zumeichin Mazin L'Chol Bri Yosef, period. Kol Hamoisif Korea. So some say that these words do not belong. Apoiskim heviu sheyesh deos b'rishonim she'ein loymar l'chol b'riyosav asher bara. She'mishtama mizeh ki'ilu yesh b'riyos sheloy bara. V'yesh b'zeh chas shalom kefira. Ela yesh loymar l'chol ha'briyos. V'ulam hechniu l'halocha she'ein l'choshosh l'zoyz v'haroi loymar k'nusach she'b'yadeim l'chol b'riyosav asher bara. It's a lot of different gear cells. How do you conclude the... What is Mechin Mazon L'chol Bri Yosef? Why do you have to say Asher Bara? Asher Bara has a connotation that there are creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create, which certainly is Apikursis. Okay, so a lot of different other Gersos, I don't really clear with them, but it's not okay, but we'll leave it with that today. Okay.